Well, thank you so much, and welcome to another one of our exciting episodes for SPIN, the LGBT MPA podcast series. I'm Ashley T. Brundage, and I'm your host for SPIN, where we put our LGBTQIA plus spin on all things in relation to the meeting and events industry. And we are so thrilled to be joined for this amazing episode by Kyle Jordan. And Kyle Jordan, who you're going to meet in just a second, is the board chair for the LGBT Meeting Professionals Association. And without further ado, let's hear from Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing?
Hey, Ashley. Thanks for having me today. I'm actually joining you from Toronto in true work fashion. I'm on the road for a conference and getting ready to plan in July. So I'm coming to you live from Canada. This is an international podcast today.
Wow, that's so amazing. Thank you so much for taking time out of your amazing event professional production industry space that you work in. Why don't you for a moment talk a little bit about, really quickly, about who you are and what you do. And I think that'll lead into our amazing conversation on leadership.
Sure. Yeah. So my name's Kyle Jordan, and in my full-time professional capacity, I work as the director of meetings at the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. So we work with academics and practitioners who work in the decision science space, which means think about folks who work for Amazon or Google and who, save money and save lives and solve problems. That's the core of what they do. And so my job is I lead a team of six professionals, and we bring folks together from all around the globe to discuss their research and how they put that theory to practice. So it's pretty exciting. I work with some really brilliant, brilliant folks in their professional space, and I'm privileged to get to do the work that I do every day. So, for me, I'm a career changer. I did not start in this profession or this industry. I started working in higher education as a higher education administrator for a decade, working on college campuses. And then I realized the students kept staying the same age, yet I kept getting older and less cool every year. So I decided to make a shift into association work a little over a decade ago. And I've been working in associations now in the meetings area and some other general association areas for coming up on almost 15 years now.
Wow. A lot happens in 15 years as we move about the world. And then can you just help us to know a little bit more about your role with LGBT MPA? And obviously I told the listeners that you were the board chair, but can you just talk a little bit about what the board chair does? And I think that probably is maybe a good place for us to start on how our conversation is leaning here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined the LGBT MPA, the LGBT Meeting Professionals Association, as a board member back in 2022. So, fresh out of the pandemic, still in the pandemic, moving towards an endemic, whichever sort of area we were looking at there. And about 4 months into my tenure as a board member, I was elevated to the secretary treasurer. And then in 2023, as of January 1st, I became the chair. And so the responsibility of the chair is it is both simple and complex simultaneously, which is difficult to describe for folks. We are a small association, a scrappy association. And so we are often a working board as much as we are trying to be a strategic board. And that can be really difficult at times as the chair, right? To find the right balance between what do we need to be focusing on operationally? What do we really need to be doing to keep the organization moving forward from a day-to-day standpoint in concert with the folks who work day-to-day in the office? It takes a combined effort, but then also looking strategically, where do we want to be in 2 years? Where do we want to be in 5 years? How do we continue to grow the association from a membership standpoint, but also from a relationship standpoint with our partners within our profession and our industry? What are the right areas of alignment? And so my role as chair is to really balance that out and try and guide our board of directors through those conversations. And sometimes they're fun and sometimes they're not fun. And I think that is what people sometimes misunderstand about volunteer service. And this is a volunteer role. I want to be clear. It's a volunteer role. All of the board of directors are volunteer and they give their time, treasures, and talent to do this. But there can be times when it's difficult to come to consensus about, you know, what we need to do as an organization. And when you think about the degree of diversity within the LGBTQIA plus community, there are so many folks we are trying to serve. And then layer that on top of the work we're trying to do within the industry, it can be complicated. And so really making sure that we have all of the voices at the table, that we're elevating those voices, and that we are really being thoughtful about the work that we're doing are all some of the components that the board chair has to sort of, you know, bring together. It's often like herding cats, right? I mean, that's sort of in some days when we have those conversations, that's what it can feel like. But I am really proud of the work that we are doing. It's a different approach, I think, under my chairmanship or my chairship than perhaps previously. But we are really focused on what is the next step for the organization? Where is that we're going to go, or where are we going to be, you know, again, in that next sort of 3, 5, 10 years?
All right. Wow. I have so much to unpack. And this is like prompted like 8 more questions. How about we do like a little bit of a rapid fire here from your last.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
All right. So I use she, her, hers as pronouns. What are your pronouns?
Yes. My pronouns are he, him, his, but absolutely will respond to they, them, theirs. 100% not an issue for me. I am comfortable with both spaces.
Awesome. Thank you. And then the other thing that I was thinking, you said the diverse, the dimensions of differences that we have. Can you just kind of say what that really means to you, like these differing dimensions? Because I know that the whole LGBTQIA plus community can't be just gathered just in gender and sexuality.
100%.
Go in there.
Yeah. When you think about people and the concept of intersectionality and all of the things that make people who they are, when we talk about the LGBT Meeting Professionals Association, there are so many other things layered onto that related to accessibility, to race, to ethnicity, to financial ability. I mean, there are so many elements related to who people are, right? And it's complex when you're talking about gender and sexual orientation and what all of that means. I mean, if you look at the history of the LGBTQIA movement, I mean, we have at times marginalized folks within our own community unfairly, right? And so as we continue to work, we really have to make sure that when we're having conversations about the work that we're doing, whether it's education, if it's even networking, what are the images we're using? What is the language we're using? How are we creating a safe space and recognizing that even in 2023, where in some ways we're so far ahead, we're also moving backwards in terms of rights and privileges and safety and feeling safe in a space. That's an obligation we have. And it's not always just about orientation. We have to look at reproductive health rights. We have to look at things impacting race and ethnicity, religion, all of those elements. And so for me, it's really important that as we're having these conversations, our focus or our target group that we really service is the LGBTQIA community, but we can't forget all of the other elements that make people who they are. And that's a part that I want to make sure that we're having those conversations, not only within our own association, but in the wider profession and industry. How are we elevating those voices? How are we helping other organizations elevate those voices so that everyone is being heard?
I was taken away from what you were saying earlier, is that you immediately started to volunteer. And then before you knew it, you immediately got on the board. And then it was like 4 months later, then all of a sudden you were the chair of the board. And I've had that happen to me where people were like, wow, we really want to have someone from your difference as a proud out woman of transgender experience. I was like the first person on the board from that community. And oftentimes I saw that they were like, oh, yeah, we really want you. And then I was like, wait, do you really want me for my expertise or do you really want me for my layer of differences? And I wonder how you feel about those two things kind of hitting against each other sometimes, representation versus people's actual what they do, right?
Yeah, I think that that is a, I think that that's something that is a delicate balance and a struggle for many people. And it's a place where we have to continue to do work, and we have to learn, and we have to understand that sometimes we make requests, and I say we being globally people, just people, right? It is hard for us sometimes to, when we're looking for a skill set, and we're also looking to elevate voices and bring folks together. It's nice when those work together, but they don't always work together, right? In terms of sometimes representation is as important as expertise, right? I always look at it as I can teach anyone how to be a meetings professional. That's a skill, right? We can do that. But the experience that someone brings as a person of color or as a trans person, those are all experiences I can't bring to the table, and we need to bring those voices to the table. We need to have those, and we can talk about, you know, what does that look like from an industry perspective or a profession perspective, even if it's tangential. I think there's a lot to be learned from different industries that you can bring in and you can put into, well, you know, engineering or into academia or into meeting planning or whatever that looks like. But there are some experiences we can't teach, right? I can't teach what it's like to live Ashley T. Brundage's life. I have no idea, but I want Ashley's voice at the table. I want all kinds of folks' voice at the table to be able to help us understand what are our gaps, where are we not paying attention to what we should be paying attention to. And so I think it's really, really important without also defaulting to the sense of tokenism, right? That I believe in inclusion at the table in terms of we have to hear everyone's voice. And again, as a chair, it's really important for me when I hear people not talking, that's when I start to poke. So why are we not talking? What am I not hearing? What voices are absent from the table? Which board members have we not heard from? Which parts of our community have we not heard from? That's really, really important to me.
It almost feels like that this ties into our next question, really centered around development in general, but definitely board development. Mm-hmm. What do you see as like this, the strategic map about how as an organization we can develop more intersectional voices for LGBT MPA as members, but also as future board members? You know, you're only as strong as your bench.
Right. And I think that that's really hard. And I think, again, that's been a real focus area for me this year as the board chair is, what does board service mean? What does board service look like? And what are the responsibilities of board service? And by trying to clarify that through our nomination process, through our selection process, through our onboarding process, and then after all of those, the actual process of serving as a board member, as a director, then I think we're able to really have conversation about how do we bring those voices collectively to have a conversation about whatever the topic is. Now, I say all of that where I think it's really important and where we can really do a better and more focused job is, how are we doing succession planning, right? Who are you looking to come in after you to carry on the voice that you brought to the table, right? And I don't mean that in a carbon copy. There's never going to be a carbon copy of me. There's never going to be a carbon copy of you. But what do I think are the important elements that I bring to the table that I would want the next person who replaces me or who comes in after me to bring to the table? And for me, it's not always, I mean, I am a cis white gay man. There are lots of folks like me out there. However, what I can do is advocate for somebody who comes with association experience, who understands the importance of elevating voices and those components. And that might be a woman of color. It could be anyone, right? And so I think that that's what's really important when you think about board development and succession and doing it well is, I don't have to look in the mirror and replace me with someone who looks just like me or is just like me. And I think we forget that. I think that that's hard sometimes because it's, you know, there's built-in unconscious bias in everyone. It exists. And so how do we really charge ourselves to say, what does this board need to continue the work that we're doing? And then what does the board need to grow, right? What elements do we need to add in that's going to help this board move to the next level, right? My goal is always to leave it better than I found it. And I want the next person who comes after me, whether they are the chair, the secretary, treasurer, a director, to have the same approach if they want to leave it better than they found it. That's what's really important to me. And I think those are the elements of development that we look at is, you know, you have to find good people, you have to train them and help them understand the work that they're doing. And then you also have to figure out from a succession standpoint, how do you keep that going?
Well, thanks, Kyle. You brought up a really amazing point around mentoring and volunteerism and how that connects to the community. Can you just go a little bit deeper and talk a little bit more about how we as an association really can impact for volunteerism and how mentoring makes a difference?
Yeah, I think it's a really fantastic question. And I think there's a couple pieces here in play, and you touched on different elements. So for me, when you look at the concept of mentoring, I find that to be and should be a mutually beneficial and mutually selected relationship, right? And when you really get to the specifics of what mentoring is. However, I think there's also an element or an opportunity for us to also do some coaching, right? For folks who are new to the profession, like I was as a career changer, young professionals who are coming up in maybe that entry-level meetings professional role, or folks who start as hotel sales folks, or their convention service managers within a property. Those are all folks who may transition into this profession. And so there are opportunities for exposure from the very beginning in the work that we do and any kind of relationship you have, that's an opportunity to talk about LGBT MPA and what we do and why we are proud of the work that we're doing. I think the other part of that is this concept of we are in a global space. Hospitality is a global industry. Many of our folks participate or attend or plan or work in international destinations. And I would say that that's a huge opportunity for us that we have to work harder on and be more focused on is how do we look at the things that are happening in other countries in addition to what's happening in the United States. You know, we are US centric, not intentionally, but sort of by how we were created and where we started from. And now we have two folks from international locations or non-US locations who sit on our board. So how can we look at more opportunities to partner with those directors for them to engage in conversations in their own communities to bring, again, more of those voices to the table? And if that's happening in South Africa, if that is happening in Europe or the European Union, those things will then trickle out and then the conversation grows. And then the conversation of how many directors could we have from non-US locations? What types of programs, what kinds of partnerships could we enter into? So I look at it as sort of two different pieces. There's an opportunity for us to mentor formally and in a really focused way. And then there's also that opportunity, like I'm in Toronto today, right? Had a great conversation with the driver of the car today who took me from the airport to the hotel, is not from Canada originally, moved here. Why do they love the country? Why do they love hospitality? Why do they enjoy doing the work that they do? Talked about the work that I do, right? That to me is an element of mentoring through sort of coaching and just engaging in the relationships with folks who are in our profession and our industry. We do networking all the time, but I don't know how much intentional networking we're all really doing. And I think that's an area where LGBT MPA does a better job. I think a lot of our folks are really intentional about the relationships that they're building, the conversations that they're having with folks, and the dialogues that they are getting into. Some of these conversations right now are really tough when you think about laws and destinations, and you're thinking about safety and those components. These are hard conversations, and I am proud that our members are engaging in those conversations. They're engaging with them not only within our association, but within our industry. And that's what's really important, having folks be aware of what's happening and talking about it. That's the only way that we're going to be able to have impact and let folks know that what's happening right now is really challenging, not only for our members of the association, but the larger LGBTQIA global community. It's really, really important.
Oh, I feel like that you've just done a commercial for the podcast series and how we're going to be touching on these topics in the future. So globalization of LGBTQ issues is one of our upcoming episodes that we're going to have. So this is your time to click the subscribe and like button for our podcast so that that way you can connect and get updated when our future sessions come out. And another one that we're going to talk about is the laws and legislations that are coming and people have to be prepared and have to, and what can you do to, you know, to champion LGBTQ plus equality? I know that we have one more question left, and that's how LGBT MPA can build more leaders across other associations. I know that we are one association, but can you just talk really quickly a little bit about how LGBT MPA impacts other associations, right? I know you work with one directly, so I know that's one way, but what else?
Yeah, I mean, I think visibility is important, right? I'm really fortunate. I work for a great organization where we are putting our money where our mouth is when it comes to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, right? And I am thrilled and ecstatic to work where I work because we are so committed to that within our own association. So I think visibility matters, representation matters, and then also, you know, aligning yourself with the right organizations to do that work, right? Like because I have a great supportive work environment, man, I can elevate that LGBTQIA conversation within our own association, the association that I work for, very easily. And not everybody has that luxury, right? We have a DEI grant in our association, and we've done it to start a pride forum. We did it for an LGBTQIA meetup. We did it for several other elements as well, not just LGBTQIA focused, but I love that as an opportunity. What I see for LGBT MPA is the work that we're doing by partnering with other industry associations and saying, we're here. We're already here. Our members are here. So let's talk about why visibility and representation matters. Let's talk about how that benefits not only LGBT MPA, the members, and the folks feeling, you know, creating a safe space, but it also is important to those folks who maybe don't know LGBTQIA people or people who don't understand why these laws that are coming out are so detrimental to the physical and mental and emotional well-being of LGBTQIA people in the United States. By us being present and saying, we're here. We are here. We are not only—
We're here and we're queer, right?
Yes, we are here. And whatever terminology you choose to describe yourself or our community, you're here and you're supported. And I think that that is something that LGBT MPA has done very well. We are working hard to weave ourselves into the fabric of this profession and this industry. And I hope that the work that we're doing will continue and that more organizations will say, yep, this is non-negotiable. We are going to do X, Y, or Z, whether it's educational content offerings, if it is networking events, if it is research efforts, if it is advocacy initiatives, whatever that looks like. That's where I think we're headed. And I think that that is important for us to role model that way, right? Because when we do it at this level, and we are now at a global level, which is fantastic for the association, when we do that at the level that we're doing it at, then it makes it easier for those folks to have conversations in their own associations, at their own CVBs or DMOs, or with whomever their stakeholders are, because we are trying to champion that way. And so that's where I really think that we are we are creating spaces where we can elevate those non-positional leaders to have that conversation within their own organizations about why LGBT MPA matters, why visibility and representation matters.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad that we finished on that question. No, thank you so much, Kyle, for everything that you're doing for LGBT MPA, being the chair, being thrusted into the chair role. I know is a the rapid advancement of what that's like. I've been in that situation myself. So I know that sometimes it can be thankless, but it does matter and it's making an impact. And so big thank yous and kudos to you for taking that on. I know it's a lot.
Well, thank you. And I mean, Ashley, we're so proud of the work that you do, not only on behalf of LGBT MPA, but also in your own day-to-day work. I mean, the work that you're doing and engaging people in conversations that they may not have otherwise engaged in. I mean, we need more folks like you and like the volunteers who work for LGBT MPA and many other LGBTQIA nonprofit organizations. We need more folks, right? That there's never not enough work to go around. And so, you know, I applaud the work that you are doing professionally, but also, you know, in a servant leader role for so many organizations and causes. I mean, it is behavior to be, you are a role model for so many others. And so we're really proud to have you as a member of LGBT MPA and as a volunteer as well. But also you're just a rockin' kick-ass person, so.
All right. Thanks for the Ashley T. Brundage commercial. And I want to just end with one more note that I thought you said was really powerful. And I'm kind of repurposing your words slightly here, but you said we want to bring voices to be a part and to be at the table, right? And I'd much rather be at the table than on the menu. And it's too many times we're listed on the menu when we're not banding together across all the things that make us different as humans. So that's why this work is really important. And I'm thrilled to volunteer my time to lead our educational podcast. And I look forward to our next members. And Kyle, how can people connect with you?
Absolutely. So you can go to our website, lgbtmpa.org. And you can locate my direct contact information from our board of directors page. Feel free. It's got a direct email address to me. You're more than welcome to reach out anytime. And then also, we do solicitations for volunteers a couple of times a year. We'll be soliciting for new board members come late summer, early fall. So keep your eyes out for those opportunities. Again, there's more than enough work to be done. So we are excited to welcome more folks into membership, which is free, by the way. It's free, $0, 0 cents, free membership, but also the opportunity to do some work on behalf of the organization.
Awesome. So thank you so much. I'm thrilled to see you again in the future. I know our paths are going to cross at some point in a convention or a meeting. And I look forward to seeing you again, giving you a big hug in person.
Thanks so much, Ashley. I appreciate the time today.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode for Spin, our LGBT MPA podcast series. It's been a delight, and we look forward to spinning with you again in the future.